So hello and happy new year, everybody. And welcome to our very first empowered self-care support call for the year of 2021. And of course, the month of January. I'm excited to have you here. And I'm excited to support you in this next year to make it your healthiest and happiest and best ever. And that's what our goals are, right? To support you, because being healthy is a job. Pretty much full-time job, right? And there's all kinds of great information that you've got access to, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. And so we're here to support you in making sense of it. So I've got two people joining me on the call, two of my certified nutritional endocrinology practitioners, and I'm introducing them to you because throughout the year, you know, sometimes these calls will be led by just me, sometimes it'll be led by me and one of the others, Annette or Lisa, and then sometimes it'll be one of them. And it's just, we're trying to make it more accessible and, you know, make the time more available for all of us. And they're a wonderful, and I'll introduce you to each of them. And their expertise is very valuable to me. Both of them have spoken at our live events. So if you've been at Shine, you've met them before. You heard Lisa talk about labs a bunch, and everybody was like, Lisa, oh my God, she knows so much. And you've heard Annette talk about blood sugar. So Annette Falconet, she's got a lot of certifications. So she's certified in nutritional endocrinology, but she's also been through the nutritional therapy practitioner, Nutritional Therapy Association. I think they changed their name or something like that.
No, they're still that. My certification changed.
Oh, okay.
They added functional to it.
Functional. So functional nutrition therapy practitioner. Okay. So she's got that. And you have IIN as well?
IIN, yeah.
IIN as well. And she's also a certified diabetes educator. So she specializes in autoimmune blood sugar imbalance, autoimmune diabetes. The people who already know they have it and the people who don't know yet, and helping people to see the difference and to be able to figure that out. And Lisa is a nutritionist. I think she's like done all her PhD in nutrition work in Switzerland. And she is a certified nutritional endocrinology practitioner. And she's what we call the health detective for the really hard to solve cases. She loves to dig into the labs and find all the stuff that people have missed over the years. And she attracts clients who are like desperate, like, I need help here. Nobody's been able to figure out what's going on with me. And she's spoken at Shine as well. She's spoken on genetics at the last one, and then on the previous one, I think on labs and things to do for immune system. And she's spoken at our conferences for our clients as well. So I'm happy to have them here to support us. And so I may be, as we go through this call today, saying, Lisa, what do you think of that? Or Annette, that's in your ballpark. Let's hear what you have to say about that. So happy new year, everybody. And so the way these calls work, if you haven't been on one before, is that you get to just basically ask your questions about what's going on with your health, about how you're doing in progressing through the Empowered Self-Care Lab, and about whatever's going on. Like, I'm confused. I did this and this happened. So whatever questions are on your brain. Before we jump right in, I just wanted to say that starting tomorrow, we're going to be doing the group elimination process. So hopefully you've been getting my emails. They keep going out. Some people said they hadn't, but I saw a whole bunch of people join the Facebook group within the last 2 days. So you must have gotten my email. And what to expect for tomorrow is that we're going to go through, and I'm going to explain to you what to expect as we go through the elimination. I know there's 4 different pages with great information and videos, but that can be overwhelming. And also I want to share with you how we're going to do the elimination piece, because a lot of times people do the elimination part wrong in that they eliminate too quickly for their body, right? And they go into detox symptoms, or they go into withdrawal symptoms from some of the foods that they've had. And then they're like, wait a minute, you said I was going to feel better and I feel worse. So I'm going to guide you to gradually eliminate groups of stuff, and then to identify the specific. So there'll be things that everybody will eliminate. And then there'll be things that are very specific. And there were some charts and forms and assessments that I asked you to fill out. I hope you get a chance to do that before the call, because I think you're going to get the most benefit about that tomorrow if you've done that already. And there'll be a few others. I'm adding some food principles type charts for you to review that will say, you know, do you need to eliminate oxalates or not? Do you need to eliminate histamine foods or not? Because a lot of times people are sensitive to those. And I'm going to share, you know, really go into the distinction between food sensitivity and food allergy, because people get them confused all the time. And they think just because they did this 120 food panel that, oh, everything that didn't show up there is safe to eat. And that's not necessarily true. So we're going to clarify all that and then help you to determine if some of the healthier foods that you're eating are actually causing you a problem, right? And so some of that will come from your charts and like really tracking it. And I'll talk more about that tomorrow. So I just hope you can make it live. It'll be great because you can ask questions. If you can't, the video, it's going to be done on Zoom plus Facebook in the Facebook group. And that way the recording is available right away after the fact, so that if you miss it or you have to come late, you can watch it right away, as opposed to having to wait till Monday when, you know, because it'll be Friday afternoon, so I won't have anybody on staff to download it and, you know, put it back up. So you'll be able to do that. And then on Saturday, so my goal is to get through as much of the teaching part, as much of the explanations and answer questions about that. And then we'll come back on Saturday. If you still have questions that you want answered, you can come back on Saturday and get those answered. So I really want us to have that intense start, you know, and have myself available to you right from the start like that, so that we all are successful with this. Because a successful elimination diet is great, but then you have to do the provocation, the reintroduction. And I'm going to guide you through that, because that's where most people really mess up. I did that in the past. Oh, I just did a 5-day water fast. I feel great. And then eat like, you know, 3 cups of brown rice and go into this horrible tailspin. I'm right now doing the ultimate elimination diet, which is a fast. So I'm on my 3rd day. I've done 2.5 days so far, or almost 3, of a water fast. And I figured that's a good way to kick it off for me, right? I fast really well. By the end of the 1st day, my ketones were like 4 and my blood sugar was in the 50s. By the 2nd day, my ketones were like 6.5 and my blood sugar was in the 40s. So I adapt and I feel like great. My brain gets clear. My body feels clear. That works for me. That doesn't work for everyone. Some people don't do well on a fast. Some people, their bodies just can't create new glucose from the glycogen or adapt to burning fats. And if you can't do either of those, what happens if you've ever fasted for too long? If you start to get palpitations and you feel agitated and anxious, it's because you're not fat adapted and your body's not able to access the stored glucose as glycogen. You don't have good blood sugar regulation. And your body's kicking into the adrenals going, help, 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 emergency. And that's why you get the palpitations. So we're going to help you to make sure that doesn't happen to you. And I'll share some ways to know if there's a problem. But a lot of people will try to push through it. And it's probably not the best idea. The best idea is to gradually increase your fasting window if you want to fast, but not push through it that way. Okay? So we'll go through all that tomorrow. So for now, I would love to hear what your questions are, where you need support. And if you can, what I really love you to do is start with a success. Hey, I really did great on this over the holidays and blah, blah, blah. And here's where I need help, right? Because here's the thing. We all have struggles, right? Everything, we have struggles. I had struggles over the holidays with eating in between meals and eating at off hours because I had my family here. And, you know, we were having social time and they were eating and I'm like, oh, I might as well too, right? That was my issue. That's why I did the fast, because I wanted to reset. I wanted to go back to my good habits, right? And doing an elimination diet, a fast, somebody told me instead of doing the elimination diet that we were laying out, she wants to just do the green cleanse. She wants to go through the green cleanse, which you all have access to, and do that, where she's just going to drink green smoothies for 5 days. But she knows she'll do really well with that. So, you know, you can take it and we'll go through more details tomorrow. But I'd love to hear that, because we all have struggles. But when we focus on what we appreciate, the struggles don't seem to get as bad. And when we focus on what we appreciate, you're creating this place in your body, in your life, for more things to appreciate, right? So who wants to start? The way you can do it is you can raise your hand like this, but better would be to go to where it says participants. And then what you're going to see at the bottom is a way to raise your hand. That way I can see the hands and they'll be on my sidebar here. And I'll be able to see who's like the order that you sign them up. If you wave at me, if two people wave at me and I choose one, I may forget who the other person was that waved at me. So it just makes it a little easier. Okay. All right. Who's up? Okay. So we have Sharon and then Lynn. Okay. Sharon, go for it.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
In December, I got back the results from my latest Dutch test, and my naturopath uses Meridian Valley Lab, so they're a little bit better, or different.
They're different. They're just different. Yeah. That's a 24-hour urine versus urine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, there's been some changes, not much. You know, she does have me on bioidentical hormones.
Okay.
And what's happened then too is the estrogen has come up a little bit, but the progesterone has just gone off the chart. So she's taken me off that.
Like too much. Right.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really not changing is the DHEA.
Staying low.
Yes.
What about the cortisol?
Still my usual problem.
So your cortisol's high at certain times and low at other
in the
times.
Morning. Yes.
Is it still the morning? It's still high at night and low in the morning?
No, it's really high. Like it starts growing up about, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to find it here.
Yeah.
My samples were taken. My first one was at 4:45 a.m. and then the next one at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then they don't do another one until about 5 p.m.
Oh, okay, so this isn't the 24. They used to do a 24. So they're doing the spot.
Oh, it's the one day. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Sorry. So the cortisone, the reference range is 30.
Can you share your screen? Do you have that on the computer where you could share your screen?
Just on my iPad.
I don't know how to share screen from an iPad. Okay.
I just hold this up. Can you see?
Yeah. I can see it. I can't see what's the first column. So
here,
show me the pictures. I read the pictures better than the, okay. DHEA is low.
Are you looking at this?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, it's a different printout. I like the other printout better.
Yeah. You're used to the other one.
Yeah. I'm used to the other one. Okay. So the testosterone's super low too. The DHEA is super low. The metabolites are reasonable. The DHT is so that's good. All right. Yeah. So all your androgens are super low.
Mm-hmm.
Super low. What does your naturopath say about that?
She had supplemented me with DHEA, but she has increased it now. I'm just waiting for my supplements to arrive.
Okay. What about testosterone? Did she supplement with that?
In Canada, she can't prescribe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's, I don't know if you can get it in Canada, but pine pollen extract. It's a supplement from pine, obviously, pine pollen, and it has androgenic effects. It's subtle, but it may be helpful to add to your regime.
And that's to increase the DHEA.
Testosterone and DHEA. Because in the States, we can get DHEA, we can get estrogen, and we can get, you know, estriol, and we can get progesterone and pregnenolone, but we can't get testosterone without a prescription. And so I can't prescribe that when I see somebody have, you know, problems with that. So I usually, well, let's try the DHEA, but the pine pollen extract I've had several people use with good success.
Okay.
To get those up. And it's not that you have high estrogen, right? That, because I would think if your testosterone's low and your estrogen is high, it's usually because there's an aromatase problem. And we can do things nutritionally to help calm the aromatase down. But what do your estrogens look like? Oh, your estrogens are super low. Okay, do me a favor and calculate your estrogen quotient. So add the E1 plus E2. So
it's on here.
Oh, it is. What's the estrogen quotient? What's the number?
It's right there.
I can't read it. 6.3, does it say?
6.3.
Yeah, that's way too high. Way, way, way too high. Okay. You might have an iodine deficiency. Most people with high quotients like that benefit from iodine. Iodine is one of the cofactors in converting from the estradiol or estradiol. Usually it's the estrone or estradiol. I can't remember which, to the estriol. And so what that's saying is your estriol is super low and your estradiol, estrone are higher by proportion. They're all low. But iodine is one of the cofactors. So that might be something to consider. Have you done an iodine?
When you're saying it was really low, are you looking at the luteal or the postmenopausal?
Well, not, yeah, range wise. Okay. I see. There's two different ranges. It's hard to see the first column. So read me. What is the first one? Here, move it over a little bit. A little bit more. Okay. Estrone, estradiol, estriol. Okay. So shoot them over. And then, so, and it's interesting because your estriol looks like it's higher according to their scale. But with the numbers, with that quotient, just do me a favor and add those two together and divide by, what is the sum of estradiol and estrone?
Estradiol and estrone?
Yeah.
Estradiol is 0.6.
Okay.
And estrone is 1.9.
So 1.9, so that's 2.1. And what's your estriol?
No, 2.5. 2.5.
Okay. What's your estriol?
Estriol, E3?
Yeah.
Is 3.8.
Oh, so that's not what the quotient is. That's actually good. That's totally fine. So I ignore what I just said about iodine. I don't know how they calculated that estrogen quotient, but the estrogen quotient is generally E1 plus E2 divided by E3, and it should be one or less, right?
Well, if you take 1.9, which is the E1,
yeah,
0.6, which right. is the E2, and 3.8 E3 is 3.8.
Yeah, so it's 2.5 divided by 3.8, so it's under one.
Oh, divided by. These are just added together.
Just added. That's the sum. Yeah, yeah. So that's fine. That's okay. What about? So I was gonna say you could get, you know, but you're in Canada, so you probably can't. But I think she probably could just adjust the dose rather than the percentages. Right. The relationship is good. So she may just need to up the dose of that.
That's what.
But I would be cautious about stopping progesterone. How high is the progesterone? I would drop it down, but you still need the protective effect of progesterone when you're dealing with estrogen.
Can't find it under here.
Does she have you on any pregnenolone? No.
Oh, sorry. She's not stopping progesterone. She's dropping it down. She had me on pregnenolone and she's taking me off of that one.
Increasing.
Sorry.
Okay, that's a precursor to everything, and that your body can choose which direction it goes.
Right. And so none of it was converting to DHEA. It was
right.
all going.
Right. It was all,
it
going.
All going to progesterone.
Yeah.
She's increasing.
So in that case, I think the increasing the DHEA, and if you can add the pine pollen extract, that may give you a little bit of a source of testosterone.
Okay.
Make sure that your 4-hydroxy is in a good range. It's in the range they recommend because that's the dangerous metabolite. And make sure the 16 is as well.
So make sure which one was in
the 4 should be, it should be under 10, basically.
In the metabolites?
Yes. Yeah.
The estrone, the 408 estrone?
Yep, exactly.
It's in the lower range of the normal.
Good. Okay, good. What about the 16?
Okay, so there's that side of it.
Okay, yeah. It's hard to see because it's really small, but maybe I should make you this here's what I'm going to do. I'll just make you highlighted. And that way it'll make you bigger. Spotlight. Okay, there you go. Now I can see. Okay, so two is on the low side. Oh, that's methoxy. So you may not be methylating as well as you should.
She has me on supplements for methylation.
For methylation. Okay. So your four is low. Your 16 is a little lower than I would like to see it. Your two is good. I mean, they're all low, so they're going to show low. The other one shows me as a percentage, so I don't. I think they look okay. The 16 is a little low, so I would make sure you're really supporting bones. That you're doing, go to the Eating for Bone Health module. That's under, it's on the main page down further where it's the eating force. And really look at that stuff. And there's a lot of recipes, there's foods, there's nettles and horsetail. I just ran into bamboo through micronutrients. And bamboo has a lot of silica and a lot of nutrients for supporting bones and nails and hair. So you may want to look at that as a supplement. So you want to protect your bones because your 16 is a little on the low side. And that's the form of estrogen that is supportive of bone health. Okay. Great.
Okay.
All right.
You said nettles and was it
horsetail? And well, nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, and oat straw. And there's some recipes in there for how to use them and quantities and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a video of me talking about bone health and all the nutrients, and then that's followed by a video of me and Karen Osborne doing some demos.
Okay. And what was that under, the Eating for Bone Health?
Eating for, if you go on the main page and you go way down to the almost the last section, I think it's like eating for specific nutrients. Okay. You just scroll down, you'll see it.
Okay.
And by the way, you guys, the handbooks, I've been working diligently on those, are all done except for one, and that one will be posted by Monday. So that'll guide you through. I highly recommend you print out the handbooks on the site and just put them in a binder and then check things off as you've been through them. And then if you go through that, you'll go, oh, eating for bone health, where is that? Oh, it's in this section, and there's links in there as well to help you through because there's a lot of information there and the handbooks will help you to sort through it. Okay?
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Right, so I'm going to take off, remove spotlight. There we go. So next we have, what happened to, I'm in gallery view. All right, so next we have Christine, and then Darcy, and then Pam. Okay, so Christine.
Mine is a success story. I'm so excited. My issues are around my gut. My gut is so much better. And by you, that one, the Multif, is that how you say it? Adding that Multipro, the pure encapsulate, you told me.
Oh, for your, that? Yeah, the Motopro to keep things.
Motopro, sorry. Yeah. And I added fiber, those two things, from Dr. Ruscio's fiber. Okay. Formula. I added those two things and unbelievable. Last time I said it was straining. I'm like two normal poops a day. I mean, that's,
yay. Now,
I know it's amazing and full evacuation. So I think it's healing. My gut is healing.
Yay. Sometimes it takes a lot of work, right? You just took thing.
I've been doing, started the journey. I started focusing on that area in July, and I have for a year of diarrhea. Of course, I was taking the magnesium oxide, and I had to stop that. It didn't work. So, so I'm very, very excited.
I'm excited for you. Let me just add one thing. The other thing to add, if the Modal Pro worked, the other things to look at are vagus nerve stimulation. Okay.
Say that again.
Vagus nerve. Your vagus nerve controls the motility. And there's some things you can do like yawning really hard and sticking the tongue depressor down your throat. Not comfortable things, but I'm trying to remember where in the site we have vagus nerve stuff. If you guys remember, if anybody remembers, it's on there somewhere. Oh, it's in Stay in the Sweet Spot. And I think it'll list it as week 13 or 12 or something like that. But it'll say in the list, you'll see it'll say vagus nerve stimulation. And it's a whole thing, you know, a presentation and all kinds of resources for helping that, because that's what helps that motility.
Okay. And the other thing, I've been going through your grand program. Number one, this is an amazing, every time I click on I'm trying to be methodical going through it. Every time there's like another, you click on a module and there's like 10 things under there. So it's like, I'm trying to pace my learnings.
Absolutely. There's no rush, right? You got to go at your own pace.
Yeah. So my question would be, is that I saw the 7-day gut detox, and can I do that versus my elimination diet?
Sure. It's just make sure that you fill out the elimination diet prep stuff. And if there's anything that you're seeing that says, this seems to be problematic, but you always say it's no matter what you eat. So it's really a gut healing thing. So sure, you can do that.
Right. And I've been like looking at food sensitivities too. And I did the doctor's data and I have that dysbiosis. I don't have leaky gut, which is good, but I have dysbiosis. And what's interesting for me, because the way I can determine I have a food reaction or food sensitivity is not from blood sugar, because my blood sugar is good. Ketones, I don't get too bloated. I get some gas, but it's really every day I weigh myself. And if I have a reaction like a weight gain, is how I have to determine it, because I don't have symptoms. And what I found is that, I need your feedback. I look at if it's over 2 pounds, like cabbage and cauliflower, I gain like almost 3 pounds when I eat it. So I hope if I heal my gut, that I'll be able to tolerate those foods in small amounts.
Right.
But that's my measure.
Any thoughts on that?
Pardon?
I'm going to ask Lisa if she has any thoughts on that. She does a lot of GI testing and has seen like a lot. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, if there's that much weight gain, that's really indicative of something's causing some inflammation.
Right.
And that's what, that's usually what's causing the weight gain. And if you're having issues with cabbage and cauliflower, cruciferous, you may just want to reduce it for a while and then reintroduce it. Some people have difficulties detoxifying sulfur foods. So it's not an issue actually with the food, it's more to do with the patient. So many of the detox pathways are sulfur dependent. So it's a really good idea to do an elimination diet and also exclude those foods. And oftentimes, if you're sensitive to the sulfur foods, you may have oxalate issues as well. So maybe an idea at this point to think about oxalates at the same time.
Yeah, I do. But I can have broccoli. Broccoli is okay. That's the only one that I can have but I kind of look at the oxalates as well. Like spinach doesn't agree with me. I don't gain weight, but I don't feel good when I eat spinach. Mm-hmm. And almonds, I know that. Those are two that I know offhand that I have to watch.
So make sure whether you do the full elimination with us and then do the gut repair, or you just jump into the gut repair, that you do the elimination with it. So you eliminate anything that you already know you have a problem with.
Yeah. And then you're going to go walk us through how to add them back down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is, like, I know you already don't eat grains and gluten and
dairy. I don't.
So you don't eat any of the stuff that's the typical stuff. You don't eat hydrogenated oils and, you know.
No.
So for you, it's that really like fine tune, like what is that sensitivity?
Yeah, I don't do any grains, legumes, any of that. I cannot tolerate those. And I guess my genes came back. They looked at my genes with the doctor's data, and they said, my naturopath said, don't do carbs. Don't do those carbs. I do I can do the root vegetables and those kinds of things. So that's why I think fiber is so important for my gut too, to get some kind of fiber supplement.
And be careful about what's fiber. So really check when you do fiber supplements, you need to go very slowly to give your body a chance to adjust. But some of them may not work, like psyllium may not work, but arabinogalactans might work, or you know, something from acacia or something like that might work. So you may have to play with some of those.
Psyllium doesn't work. It constipates me. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. And that may mean you're not hydrated enough if it constipates you, that you're, because it will absorb. Same thing with chia, they absorb so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But thank you. I mean, it's amazing, the information. Oh, the last thing that's good news is I was getting bad gas. I got gas at night 4 hours after I ate. And my poor dog would run out of the room, so it was bad.
Wow.
But now, looking at your gran, and I've been doing turmeric and ginger tea after my last meal, which is usually about between 4 and 5. It's unbelievable. That has really helped. So that was the high I got from your program.
Super. Well, I'm glad, and I love to see that you're just fully engaging it. It really feels good, because there's a lot of work that goes into it. I mean, just, you know, those handbooks, like the last one, which is almost done, it's all the programs. I would say it was at least 8 to 10 hours of my time. And then I had an assistant helping me do it. So it's a lot of work that's gone into it. So
how long do I have access to these programs? You know,
well, you're a year member, so you have access till the end of the year, and then you can renew to keep having access. So it's a membership kind of model.
Okay, so it's for a year, and then after that, make a determination to renew. Yeah. Okay, because there's no way I'm gonna get through it in a year.
There's no way anybody could get through it in a year. It's just as simple as that. So you just okay, and then you renew and you continue to get all the calls and you can get it through and get support. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to be where you are though.
Oh, in Hawaii. Anytime, come and visit.
I'm jealous. Yeah, I know, but there's like a 2-week quarantine.
I know. Nah, if you get the test now, you can. You get the before you get on the airplane, get a test. You don't have to quarantine.
Oh,
it comes negative.
Yeah, I assume it'll come back negative because I stay home all the time. My son had a scary, he's sick right now. He has, you know, sore throat and a little fever. And is like, okay. So he went out and got tested yesterday. So it was all day waiting for his results to get back. And he finally came back negative. Then he wanted to come over. I didn't know his test had come back negative. He goes, can I come over and use the hot tub? I'm like, don't come near me, baby. You know, no, you got to get a test. And that's why my test is negative. Oh, okay. So I let him come over, but we're still wearing masks because I don't want to catch whatever he has. So it kind of makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll mute you. And then next is, Kimberly is next. Kimberly, I don't see on the picture, but she's there. Kimberly and then Pam and then Darcy. All right, Kimberly. Where's Kimberly?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yep. I'm trying to make my picture come up. I just got in from a walk. Let me see.
Okay, I'll see.
I know you prefer the picture.
There you are.
Okay. Hello, how are you?
New Year, good.
Happy New Year. Okay, so let me take off my jacket. So successes, lots of successes. I see Lisa's on, my coach. I was able to get all the supplements that she recommended for repairing my gut. And I'm, I guess, almost a month in of taking them every day. So they're helping, like it's like a smoothie, and they're helping with elimination, which is good. Great. And also I can notice my hair and my nails are growing much faster.
Hey. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I can really tell it in my eyebrows.
In your eyeballs?
Eyebrows.
Oh, eyebrows. I'm like, eyebrows. What does that have to do with hair?
No, my eyebrows.
Okay,
like
cool.
I tweeze them and then it's like, wait a minute, I just tweezed them. Why do I have to do this again? So that's one thing. And then the other thing, I went to see my gynecologist.
You showed me that Dutch test.
The Dutch. Yeah. And so
very Dutch.
There was a there was a line on there that said the sample had been contaminated because I take the hormones vaginally.
Oh.
So my gynecologist really, she's like, you're on a low dose. It really, I don't think it's that high. I think that those readings are from contamination. So she talked to Precision. And so I just redid the Dutch. And what she recommended was that I apply the the creams on my arm for 48 hours prior to the test. Yeah. Yeah. And don't use it vaginally. So in a couple of weeks, I'll know what the results are.
Yeah.
But then now I'm going to go off the hormones because she wants to retest me because I've started my cycles. You know, I had six cycles last year. So she's like, you know, she's still a medical doctor. I mean, even though she's a good one, she doesn't really believe that I could have reversed menopause. So she's like, you know, we need to see what the state of your hormones is without the hormone supplement. So I'm going to go off of them starting now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So gradually wean off so that you don't have an abrupt withdrawal.
I'm going to gradually wean off. She was like, oh yeah, you can just stop them. I was just like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll gradually wean off and then I'll count the 30 days from when I finally stop. But she did tell me to continue the progesterone because when I'm not on it, it's really hard to sleep. Mm-hmm. And before I went on it, my level was like totally bottomed out. Mm-hmm. So she was like, just continue that, but just get off all the testosterone and the estrogen.
Okay.
So and then
you'll
we'll see.
And then you'll be able to see what you really, you'll be able to have two comparisons, right? What does it look like with the hormones? Then 30 days later, what does it look like without the hormones?
Right.
And then you'll be able to make an assessment. She can figure out what dose you really need to be on.
Yeah. So we're going to do blood work at the end of the 30 days to see like, what is the estradiol level in the blood? You know, is it menopausal?
But she's not going to do the whole thing.
She said, let's do the blood first and see what the blood says, and then we'll see.
And see if you want to do the whole Dutch again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, my question. So there's other successes, but, which is great. My question is actually about the transforming stress. So I did the transforming stress for the 30 days. I found it very helpful, but once the 30 days were up, even though I had downloaded all the recordings, for whatever reason, I just really wasn't keeping up with it, doing it every day.
Start it again.
Okay. And I had planned to do that, but then in the interim, I saw you on a call with another lady,
Karen Dunstan.
Yeah. Yes. And you all were talking about apps and equipments and things. And my wife had a heart rate monitor. So I was like, well, let me try that. So I hooked it because I'm on my phone all the time. So I use it anyway. So you're talking about
one of the heart math things that you put on the ear.
You put it on the chest, on the, it's a band around.
Got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that.
So that doesn't measure heart rate variability. It measures
heart. It does.
It does.
It does measure heart rate variability. Cool. And my question is, what I've noticed after doing it for about 5 days is when I do the breathing and I hold the breath, like when I breathe out and then hold for 5 seconds before I breathe back in and then hold for 5 seconds, I get a lower heart rate variability than when I just breathe out and breathe in, like a long breath out, a long breath in. So I wanted to know, is it better to hold the breath for the 5 seconds or better to get the higher heart rate variability?
It's better to get your better heart rate variability.
Okay.
That's why we're all unique and we all respond differently. And I would say go for the heart rate variability being better.
Okay. Yep. And the belt really helps me because the other thing I found out with it was when I breathe into the space where the belt is, I get better heart rate variability.
Great.
And without the belt, it's like, I need that feedback to tell me like, push the breath right there. And it goes higher. I can get like 65 on the heart rate. Yeah. Yeah, especially when I doing it when I'm doing like my morning. I'm Buddhist, so I chant in the morning and the evening. When I do it during that time, one day it got to 67. Wow. So, yeah. So anyway, that was my one question, and I had another question, but I don't know. I might be able to stay on, and maybe you can come back to me because I can't remember it. But anyway, it's great to see everybody.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
All right. And then as for you. Okay, so next is Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Happy New Year. So I want to share a quick success. I was able to see my family over Christmas, and I hadn't seen them in a long time. And, you know, did the sweet spot, stay in the sweet spot. So they had not seen me at like 25 pounds less. And so their reaction, I hadn't told them, I wanted to surprise them.
Sweet.
And it was just like, they couldn't believe it. And they saw the energy, and I had them drinking green smoothies for breakfast. It was just to see their reaction. And I've now my sister's talking about, hey, you know, what did you do? So it's sparking conversation.
Yeah.
I'm so excited and so happy. And I just want to thank you for encouraging me all these months, and just this program is wonderful.
I'm so glad that worked for you. Yay. And it must have been like their faces, like priceless.
Oh yeah. It was priceless. It was fun to get. Awesome. And I just finished, I wanted to kick off the new year. So I started January 1st doing the Fast While Feasting program.
Nice.
And what I found, because that was like the third or fourth time I've done it now, it's getting easier. I'm finding that the fasting and the intermittent fasting, the more I do it, the easier it gets. That's yeah. Right. And I feel so much better.
That's
so
great. You're going to do it once a month?
Yes. I've already got it on my calendar. I found
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. You commit to it and it's on your calendar. It pops up. You go, oh, okay, I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to do the elimination program too with y'all.
Great. Awesome. Yay.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Is there any way I can support you today?
No, I feel good. I feel great.
Okay. Awesome.
Just keep on keeping on.
Just keep on keeping on. Right. We all deserve to feel the very best we can. And when you take action and you get rewarded, you keep taking the action. It's when we go, I'm good now. And you go back to your old ways, that everything starts to slip, but it may not slip.
And I did cheat a few times over the holidays. I did. It was the holidays. I was with my family, but I felt good about it. I felt good about myself. It was okay to have a little cheat here and now and then, but I didn't go overboard.
You know what I'm going to ask you to do is don't call it a cheat. Call it an indulgence.
Okay.
I indulged a couple of times, because cheat is like, you know,
yeah,
bad, right? It's bad. And I treated myself to an indulgence, you know, and I'm now I'm back to my good stuff.
Right. I like that better.
Yeah, it's much better. It's much better for your subconscious to hear
it.
Yes. Too.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Pam. Okay, let me look over here. Lower hand. And who's next? Darcy. Where's Darcy?
Hi there.
I saw you here a minute ago. There you are. Oh, you already unmuted. That's why you moved. Okay, great.
Okay, good. Well, so my success, and I'm glad someone else said this, was that I've been adding the more green smoothies into my day, and I just love them. And I am now to two poops. So
I love it. And we can talk about it here, right? People, you come to a call where you can tell people you're happy you had two poops a day.
Yeah. They're not perfect yet, but they're there. So that's so good.
That's great. Congratulations.
Okay. So my couple questions are that I've been trying to improve my leaky gut, and I have metabolic syndrome and autoimmune thyroid, and all of them are pretty low. They're not like crazy bad, but enough to work on. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to figure out, you know, tweaking them and figure out what else I can do to improve them. So I did some labs. I have H. pylori. And so I was working with my doctor, and I got really congested after taking the biocidin and the
You got congested when you took the biocidin?
And the Metula tea.
The Metula tea.
And I mean, just like I was reacting to a food or something new was in my diet. So I knew to start looking through what I've been eating and ingesting.
How long after you took them did you get it?
Probably about 2 weeks. I felt worse.
You started to get congested after 2 weeks, not immediately.
No, not immediately.
Okay, so let me, I'm going to stop you there before you try to go down the food chain. It's likely like a Herxheimer's type reaction where your body's now killing off these bugs that are living in you, and they release these toxins that aggravate you. So, you know, if you had it immediately or within a few hours or even a day, I would say, well, you know, maybe it's something in there, an allergic reaction, but that more sounds to me like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Okay. The thing that you could do, it's good you're doing two poops now because you're eliminating. Binders might help, like something like clay, green clay, or diatomaceous, not diatomaceous, a little aggravating. What's the other thing I was trying to think of? I always have trouble remembering this thing. It's a white powder or it comes in a little homeopathic. Help me here. For some reason, I have a mental block.
The company that makes the biocidin also makes like a GI detox or something, and it's the binder.
The binders, there you go. Yeah, so go to biocidin and get that from them. Yeah, great. And that will help to bind the toxins in your gut so they don't get reabsorbed.
Okay, because I did the manual muscle test with my doctor and he does the arm. And then I did this, what I call the sway test.
Sway test.
And both of them are complete negatives for me for all of those products. So then I was thinking, are they really, is it the toxin or is it the product? I just couldn't tell, but it's a.
Did you have that tested before you started it or after you'd been on it for a couple of weeks?
I didn't think to do it before and I did it.
So it's after you've been on it. So you may have needed it and now you don't need it quite yet. And maybe if you had a binder, which wouldn't hurt to have anyway, you test them all together
and see.
And see, like if you just test the one, but if you don't test it with the binder, it may be giving your body maybe saying, yeah, this is going to aggravate.
Okay. Okay.
That's a possibility. Well,
and I went to see my functional medicine doctor and he had suggested all this. Plus he added DHEA and a T3. And I did the manual muscle test for the armor thyroid and the DHEA and the T3, and they all were negatives as well. So I just have been slowly weaning off of them and I actually feel great. I still have a bit congestion, but so then I was like, I'm kind of confused what I should do with my thyroid.
So yeah, the thyroid, there's a company called Restorative Formulations that makes an over-the-counter product. So it's not prescription like Armor. And it's basically called ThyroCare. And we've had really good results with folks with taking that.
Okay, what is it?
It's but basically it's got ashwagandha, it's got a little bit of iodine, it's got a bunch of other nutrients. I don't remember all the other like that's in the hyperthyroid one. It's got a few herbs, basically.
Thyroid.
That supports the thyroid, right? Yeah. And ashwagandha is known to increase thyroid production, right? Yes. It's the contraindication. The caution is don't take this if you have hyperthyroid.
Yeah.
Because it will raise that. And it's plus it supports the adrenals and it's just got a lot of other beneficial qualities. So you might consider that. Okay. Yeah. And like how off are you? Is it a T4 to T3 conversion issue? Because that's the other thing. I would look in. Go to the thyroid module, Thyroid Revive and Thrive, and go to part 5 and step 5. So 5 and 5, and there's a booklet and there's a video and it's called Thyroid Balancing Step by Step. Okay. And in there, it shows you charts of some of the various herbs and what they do based on what your labs look like.
Okay. Well, because when I compared my labs and did the under conversion and thyroid resistance, all of my results were where my TSH was 0.5 because I was on Armor. And
yes, you're, yeah.
I'm not. So those results are so different. And I think it was at a 3.1, which is high, but not.
What was 3.1?
My TSH this last time. And that was without me being on any medicine.
On anything. Okay. That's not terrible for not being on anything, but watch it.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
And I would try something like the ThyroCare or ashwagandha or some of that, because, and all of that's in that thyroid module. So you can look through there and figure it out. And you also have to make sure your gut's working properly, right? And the stress levels. And then you want to rule out the thyroid resistance, of course. And if your homocysteine is high or your vitamin A is low, that can cause thyroid resistance.
Yes, my vitamin A is low.
Is low, yeah. So micellized, little liquid drops, one drop is 5,000, easy to take, and that'll help that. And if you have a genetic SNP, I don't know if you've done any genetic testing, but if you have a genetic SNP for vitamin A, you got to make sure you take it.
Yeah. What was the product you said?
Micellized. Seeking Health has one. Little bottle, $11, $12, something like that. Lasts like 6 months because you don't have to take very much.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. Aurelie said she had her hand up, but I didn't see it. So where are you, Aurelie? Unmute yourself and talk to me.
Okay. I'm here. I have two goals. One is to figure out a very serious inflammation issue, and the other is to lose weight. So in November, I started doing the Fasting Without Feasting program with some fish, and not necessarily watching amounts. And in December, I took the fish away. And according to Chronometer, I'm always not getting enough protein, and I'm getting probably more carbs than I should. I feel good on the program. I am not eating any histamines or oxalates. So my blood sugar is tending to be just above 100, and I don't know.
Fasting blood sugar, you mean?
I'm not eating anything except vegetables, and occasionally I'll have some nuts. So I'm not quite sure how to make some progress, because I'm not really losing weight. I would say that my calories tend to be maybe averaging about 1200. Sometimes it goes to 15. And I'm not sure what step, but I have a lot of stomach gas a lot of the time. And I get a lot of swelling in my legs. So I haven't figured out what to eliminate in order to not have that swelling.
Okay, so that can be complicated, right? Because swelling can be caused by lots of things. It can be caused by high blood pressure. Have you checked your blood pressure?
Don't have high blood pressure.
Okay. And then it could be caused by problems with your heart or your kidneys. So that's the stuff you want to rule out. Have you done a full lab panel?
Yes, I've done lots of labs recently that I'm going to go over with Lisa.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Yeah, because that's what I was going to say, like somebody customizing and looking at you to see what the holdup is. 1200 calories, you know, if you're not active and I know you've done a lot of fasting and a lot of little thing, you may have lowered your metabolism so that 1200 is more than you need, right? Which is hard, right? It's hard to go lower than that. When you've done fasting, I know you've done fasts a few times. Has your blood sugar gone below 100?
Yes, it'll get down into the 70s if I don't eat for 3 or 4 days. But I haven't done that for a couple of months.
Because sometimes that gives you a reset, and then you very slowly add the foods back in and figure out what raises it, right? And you might need the fish. I mean, I know you said you did that in November, but if that was were you losing weight when you were on the fish?
No.
No. And how low is your protein?
It's usually about a quarter of what the chronometer would say I need.
Yeah, because if you're under eating, right, if you're not getting enough calories, it's hard to get enough protein unless you're supplementing with a protein powder.
Which I don't really like smoothies or protein powder. I've been loving the blended fishes, blended soups, I mean, that were on the fasting program, and I've invented a lot of my own. So
awesome. Have you ever tried adding protein powder to that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to do it. I remember when Sun Warrior first came out with their plain, whatever it was, Warrior Food or whatever it is, that was just, it was a blend. And it was, I tasted it. I'm like, wow, this is really mild. I bet this would make a good soup. So I threw it in the blender with my veggies and I added, you know, good stuff and spices, and it was delicious. On the site, let me think about where. If I look at the handbook, I'll know. But there's, it's in the recipe videos. There's a thing called have your cake and protein or something like that. It's a weird name, but it's protein. It's all about protein and powders. How to get protein powders that's not just throwing it in a smoothies or drinking it. There's a muffin recipe there. There's a soup recipe there. There's all kinds of ways to get that and support you with that.
Well, I feel very satisfied with the program, with just having the fasting with the without feasting program.
Fasting while feasting, yeah. But that's if you do the fasting while feasting, you're on 700 calories the first day, and then 500 calories to 600 the next. Oh no, you're on 1100 the first day, and then 5 to 7 on the rest of the day. So that's kind of low.
I haven't been testing. I haven't been doing anything with amounts, so I'm probably eating more than is in that program. I'm just eating those foods minus the histamines and.
Oh, I see what you mean. So you're eating the foods, but not the caloric restriction. I would monitor your chronometer for like 5 days straight, and monitor your weight. You know, every day, monitor in the morning and at night to see if there's a difference. Sometimes, Christine was saying, it could be like 2 pounds difference after eating just a low calorie meal. That shouldn't happen. That's an inflammation. So there may be some inflammation going on.
I used to gain 10 pounds in a day. And when I just do these foods, I may be gaining 2 pounds. So that's a big difference. So I know it's helping a lot with the inflammation problem.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It may be just a matter of time and a matter of, I think with Lisa looking at your labs and helping you to see what's, you know, what's more needing addressing, I think that could be helpful for you.
Okay, I am hypothyroid, or at least it appears that way, and I'm natrethoid, but I'd like to get off that. And I'm finding that recently since I started doing this, I've been getting very sleepy. Like if I sit in a chair, I'll fall asleep. So I might be not getting some nutrients I need eating this way. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the chronometer. When you're under eating, if you're under eating, it's hard to get all your nutrients in. And that's where supplementing with like a protein powder, a green powder, you know, something that will be dense nutrient wise that you can add to what you're doing.
Okay, right? Well, I will put some protein powder in the soup and see how that goes. But the other question is, since I get this gas, like I could burp at any time, I have tried lots of supplements that hasn't addressed that. Could that be H. pylori?
It could be H. pylori. It could be a stomach valve kind of thing where things are regurgitating up. There's a number of things that could be. It could be that you're just eating too fast and you're swallowing air in between. Yeah, H. pylori is something that it just really mimics a lot of things. And we find it on, you know, I wouldn't say a large percentage of people, but it does show up. And when it shows up, it really does need to be addressed. You could have low stomach acid and you're not breaking down your food.
I've used enzymes. That doesn't seem to be the answer. The other thing is I tested high for Epstein-Barr virus, which I had when I was in college, but apparently it's reactivated right now. And could that be what's causing the thyroid issue?
Anything stressful in the body can cause a thyroid issue. And
do you have
antibodies to the thyroid, or is it?
No, I don't have thyroid antibodies.
Yeah, but stresses in the body can cause that. It's possible that you have another autoimmune disease, like an intrinsic factor or a parietal cell autoimmunes, which affects
NAA reflex and titer high.
Okay, so there's some autoimmunity going on.
So how could I reduce the EPV?
There's a lot of ways. I mean, it's complicated, and there's herbs that can do it. There's the dietary things. Some of the herbs we're going to be talking about later in the class that I'm doing, the herbal therapeutics class, have that effect, have an antiviral effect. Antiviral type herbs can be helpful.
Okay.
And just overall leaky gut control and that. There's a woman called Kasia Kynes, K-A-S-I-A Kynes, K-I-N-E-S, and that's her specialty, is EBV.
Okay.
Book on her site.
Do you think that staying on the fasting without feasting foods long-term is healthy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's how I eat all the time. It's just quantity-wise that I don't. I mean, I eat that way all the time.
Okay.
But my diet's been that way for years, decades.
Well, I think this is the best I've come up with yet.
Yeah. Just make sure that you're not restricting calories like that for too long, because that will cause your metabolism to go down. But your metabolism, because of the thyroid. Now, here's the thing with thyroid. You may be on the medications, but you still have thyroid resistance. And that's where, when I talked to, who was it, Darcy, about going on the site and looking at that resource. Because thyroid resistance, I just would assume everybody has thyroid resistance. If you have a thyroid problem and you're on medication, you likely have thyroid resistance. Right? And you should be addressing that. Because that one won't show up in tests. That's the person who is like, the tests are perfect. Even if you're on thyroid medication and all the labs look great and you still feel like crap, you still have constipation and you still have the dry skin and your hair's falling out and you can't lose weight, then it's because the cells have become resistant to that hormone. And like I said to Darcy, homocysteine is important. So if your homocysteine is elevated, that you got to bring that down. Vitamin A, if it's low, if you're stressed, if your cortisol is either high or low, will affect those receptors. And those are things that need to be addressed.
Would it make sense to just start reducing the amount of medication? I'm taking Armour right now.
I can't say anything about your medication. That is totally between you and your doctor.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so we have David and then Rose. Okay, David.
Good afternoon.
Good day.
My celebration is just taking a break from most things because I've had people I'm close to pass away, and just kind of giving myself a pass.
Self-care. Yeah.
And kind of get back into things a little slowly. I don't recall emails about starting the elimination diet.
Check your spam.
I've never found anything from
it. Went out, like 550 of them went out. There were 350 went out the other day.
So, recently. Okay.
Yes. I think Christine had said she hadn't gotten one, but then I looked and it had been sent to you. So I don't know if your server is not received. Did you get other emails from me?
Yes.
But you didn't get that.
Ronnie's saying didn't get them either.
That's weird. Because no.
So I got Happy New Year, time for a body reboot. I got Healing the Autoimmune Trauma Connection. I got A System for Attracting Miracles, Practical Herbals, Therapeutics, Introductory Special, Gift to Warm You into the New Year. Getting a number of them.
What is going on? I thought it was weird because there were only like 30 or 40 people that had joined the Facebook group. And I was like, join. But then I thought, okay, it went through because the last couple of days there have been a whole lot of people requesting. Okay, yes. So tomorrow, 1 o'clock, I'll put the link in the chat here, so you know. Join me then, and then we'll try to figure it out. I don't know what else to do. That's kind of weird. Let's see. So tomorrow,
1 o'clock your time,
1 p.m. my time, and I'm going to put the Zoom link in. That has the password embedded. Yes. All right. There you go. Oops, that's just went to Orly. No, let me go to everyone. Here we go. There you go. Okay, so it's one.
Got it. Thank you.
Time.
So I got another success. I got a pain in my big toe, and I thought I'd either sat on it funny and possibly damaged it, or it was an infection. And I was just patient for a few days and did cold, did hot, did ointments. And then 2.5 days later, it resolved with just a little round spot on the top. So I'm attributing it to a bug bite.
A bug bite.
Like I didn't run to the doctor and get antibiotics.
Like, good for you.
Whoa. So I'm just so scared of antibiotics now. I've been able to stay off of oral antibiotics for a couple of years. So that's a success.
Yay.
So question one, at one point you mentioned, or somebody mentioned to me, a scan for the heart that is radiology that doesn't require a prescription.
Calcium CT scan.
Calcium CT.
Now, I can't vouch for every state. I just know that some states, many states, you don't require a prescription. And in Texas, anyway, you don't require a prescription, but if you're over 70, you do, which is when you need it most. So.
Okay. And then also was mentioned a heart-related evaluation that a chiropractor could do. And I mentioned it to my chiropractor, and she didn't
get it. That a chiropractor could do?
No, okay, that might have come from Annette.
I'm sorry, what was it? I was looking for something. What, David?
Was it you mentioned that a chiropractor has a thing, something they can do to evaluate heart function in some way?
No, I said look up Dr. Jack Wolfson.
Yes, I have
his
that.
Wife's a chiropractor.
Okay, then I misunderstood. That's fine.
That's okay.
I'm going to go for a round of blood tests soon. So I'm going to add the advanced lipid and the total T4. I don't have that yet. But is there a test I can add that's just an initial, am I suffering autoimmunity, that's not an expensive test and not necessarily diagnostic, but just kind of the ANA?
ANA would be something. It's not, if it's not elevated, it doesn't mean conclusively that you don't have autoimmune. Lisa, do you know of any others? I know, the Cyrex Array 5, which tests you for like 36 different antibodies.
Well, if you're just going to go for a normal blood test, you can do ANA, you can do rheumatoid factor, so RF. And then you can also check your IgA, IgE, and IgM in your blood just to see the health of your immune system.
Are those IgI specific to particular foods or allergens?
It's general. It's just
they have general ones.
This is not a food sensitivity. It's just checking the health of your immune system, checking your ability to make antibodies, basically.
Yeah. So, and sometimes what happens is people will go for one of those 120 food sensitivity panels and it comes back normal and they're going, but I know I have problems. And then you check their total IgA and it's tanked, so that you'll end up getting a false negative on the IgA or IgG test.
Just because your immune system is generally suppressed?
Exactly.
Oh, so starting with the general test seems like a good way to get back into. I've had tests years past where specific things popped up and I don't eat those things. But as you said, I haven't eaten them. So if I get a blood test for them, it'll probably be negative whether I become sensitive to them, whether if
for
I
the
start
most
eating
part.
Again
I mean,
or not.
There are exceptions, yeah. But yeah. And in fact, Cyrex for their array, I think it's array 10, that's the food sensitivity. They say, just make sure that you eat all the foods that we're testing within the month before. Yeah. And I'm like, somebody's been off of gluten for 3 years, and feel better off of it. I'm not going to tell them to go eat gluten just to get a test done to confirm that they're gluten sensitive. We already know they're gluten sensitive. Yeah.
And then you'd mentioned that I should get the total T4 test to see if I have a conversion issue or something earlier in the steps of things before that.
But do it at the same time as you do the rest of it.
Right.
Don't just do it in isolation because you can't compare like a month ago.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And when I get all the test results back, I will have an appointment with Lisa to go over them with me.
Great.
I was just wondering what it is that is the malady that occurs if it's the thing that total T4 would reveal.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at just the end result, which is T3, right? That's conversion. We don't know how much your body's making. We don't know if it's, because I think you had free T4. So we don't know if your body's not making enough T4 so that the free T4 is going to naturally be low, or you have too much of the binding globulin. So the total T4 is the total amount that's made. Only a tiny bit of that is the free. And it's running around in your system attached to a protein.
Oh, okay. That's right? what I'd forgotten. So excellent.
When the free T4 is low, it could be that you're just not making enough T4, or you're not supplementing enough T4 or whatever. Or it could be that you're just, there's too much of that binding globulin and you're not converting it, or, you know, just whatever the name might be, taking the protein off.
Okay. Is that binding globulin one of the things that the antibodies, immune irregularities go after?
The antithyroglobulin is against that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't had those tested in like 7 years, so it's probably time to retest the antibodies.
You've done a lot in this last 7 years.
Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great. It looks like Margaret asked about the recipes on the website that use protein powder. Yeah, so if you go to the Healing Kitchen archives, there's hundreds and a couple, well, not hundreds, but over 100 recipes there, recipe videos. And one of them is protein. We're going to soon, maybe within the next month, have those all categorized, so you'll find them much more easily. But for now, they're just sorted by dates. So you just have to scroll through the lists and find the one that has the protein powder stuff in it. Okay. All right. So let's see. Kimberly raised her hand again, and Sharon raised her hand again. So Kimberly and then Sharon. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. All right. I remembered my questions. So, okay. So one of them was on the fasting. So the elimination diet. So I started it on Tuesday. I read through the modules and everything. My wife's doing it with me. Awesome. And I'm just doing the water fast because I've done bone broth fasting, but this is my first water fast. So it's going okay.
What day are you on?
Three.
Good.
This is the third day.
You look great for being on day three. There's
day three.
Yeah.
So, and my blood sugar is getting low. So like 50s?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And you had said, if you're jittery, I just wanted to know, like, I do sometimes feel a little bit low energy, but it's been kind of a couple of stressful days. So I don't know if it's the fasting.
Low energy when you're fasting is not uncommon, right?
Okay.
Absolutely. What are your ketones? Where are your ketones at?
Oh, I checked this morning, 3.8.
Okay. So we're going to calculate for you right now. I'm going to calculate your ketone glucose index or glucose ketone index. So your glucose, you said, was 50, 55?
Yeah, 54, I think it was last time.
54 divided by 18 equals divided by, yeah, you're good. So
good.
Your ketones are above your glucose in the international unit. So you are in what's called maximum autophagy. Your body's gobbling up all the garbage cells in your body right now. So if you feel a little low energy, it's because your energy's turned in to heal. So good job. Yay.
Okay. So my question was, is like what to look out for to know if, you know, if I needed to break the fast or.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you start to feel like you're going to pass out and you absolutely are, you know, you've got to eat something. It could be your electrolytes go down. So, you know, sometimes it comes in like cramping and, you know, symptoms like that. I would say, keep an eye on the ketones. As long as if the glucose is low and the ketones are high, and you should be okay. Day three is when we tend to shift. If you're easily ketone adapted, by day three, you're shifting and your body goes, oh, look at the fat. I can burn fat. I can burn these ketones. I don't need glucose. And it stops paying for it. That's what I would say. Yeah. And be careful on exercise. Just do like, you know, walk or something like that. And get some sunshine and all. But I would say if you exercise and your blood sugar goes way up, that means you're burning muscle. So you're overdoing. There's no glycogen left by day three. Glycogen storage form of sugar. And so the first couple of days when you're not eating, you still have some glycogen left. But after two and a half, 3 days, it's gone. So if you exercise and it goes up, it's not getting the sugar from the glycogen, it's getting it from your protein stores. So that just means to slow, you know, to stop the exercise or slow it down even more.
And when you mean go way up, are we talking like 20 points, 10 points?
No, 20, 30, 40.
20, 30 points. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to check it when I got back in from my walk because it was my time for questions. So I'll have to check it tomorrow. Okay. And then my other question was on the whole, the modules and everything in the site. So, and figuring out what, I mean, there's only so much I can do, right, at a time. So I did the sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
I had to do it for about 2 months because at the first month, my body wasn't ready to move on. So now I'm focused on the elimination diet. And I know I have gut issues, adrenal issues, because my cortisol was low on the Dutch. But I don't know, like once we get through kind of the elimination diet, what module should I do next? And I don't really know.
I'd probably go to the gut.
So, there are certain
things you can do overlapping. Right. Okay. There are certain things that might support your adrenals well, like getting your gut handled, because if you've got gut overgrowth and dysbiosis, that's going to stress out your adrenals.
Right? Okay.
And then there's, you know, the adaptogenic teas. I would look at some of that. Look at some of those to support your adrenals while you're working on your gut.
Okay. As opposed to like stay in the sweet spot. Because that's a whole separate program. Right?
Yeah, stay in the sweet spot was created for people who went from sweet spot, but that was before we opened this. So only people, all this modules, you're in ERC now. So, but right. Before you were in ERC, you were in kind of a gap, right? You didn't have access to any of the stuff you now have access to. So we did stay in the sweet spot to give you a little taste of, here's how, you know, some jumpstart steps for your gut, some jumpstart steps for this. So that's what staying the sweet spot was for.
But okay, because I did sweet spot in ERC. I just did it like through the modules.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't think, I mean, you could do the stay in the sweet spot because it's great stuff in there. There's stuff on finding your best intervals for intermittent fasting. There's some basic stuff related to the gut. So you could go through that and just pick and choose what makes sense for you there.
Okay. But you think overall the focus should be, that would be the grand program?
The grand would be your gut, right?
Okay.
Yeah. But do the gut assessment and see where in your gut, right? Because the gut assessment will say, oh, is it in the upper GI? Is it pancreas?
Oh, it's both.
Yeah.
Because Lisa had me do the testing. So it's.
Oh yeah. 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 I would work. I would definitely be working on whatever showed up in the testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing with Lisa. I just didn't know like which modules within the program to work on, to go through, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if your gut is showing up as being aggravated, then I would go through the gut.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. All right. So we have Sharon and then Catherine. Okay. We have 10 more minutes. So where are you, Sharon?
Right here.
There you are.
Will you look at my cortisol? I really feel like I'm sticking to the program quite well. I've done all the gut issue things. I worked on that with my naturopath, actually. And she works very much in accordance with what you do.
Great.
You know, her thought is about the same. And I'm doing all of this, and I just still really don't feel well. You know, and I listen to other people on the calls, and they're saying, gee, you know, I'm feeling so great. I've got such an energy, and I just don't.
Mm-hmm. And is the energy just low all day, or are you feeling it just in the afternoons?
It's all day.
It's all day. Are you sleeping now? Are you, because you weren't sleeping before.
I sleep for about 3 to 4 hours really, really soundly. And then after that, it's intermittent. I get a lot of awakenings. But I do go back to sleep, and in total, I might get about 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah, so sleep deficiency is like the leading cause of tiredness, and it's the most overlooked cause of tiredness. Everybody's looking for the magic bullet and the cortisol and the thyroid and all. But the fact that you're not getting enough sleep, your body's going, okay, I'm done, right? I can't put my energy out. So really focusing on figuring out that sleep issue. Mm-hmm. Is really challenging. Have you tried Brain Time?
I've looked at it, but I haven't joined it.
Give it a try. If you use drreadandread.com/braintime, they'll give you a month free to try it out. And if it doesn't work for you, then don't renew. But if it does, then renew. We've had some people, it's just not for everybody, but we've had some people who within a few days, like after years of insomnia, started sleeping. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think the sleep is the thing. Have you gone through all the sleep stuff that we have out there? We had a lot of stuff on Sweet Spot, and then we had a lot of stuff on the body balance. I mean, the body freedom pillars on sleep.
Yeah. I've been working on sleep for so many years, and it just, I haven't had improvement.
I think that that's the nut you have to crack.
Well,
I mean, you have to get cortisol. Yeah. What's your cortisol look like?
Do you want to
let me do that where I change it so it's full screen? Spotlight. Okay.
Now my first collection time is 4:45 a.m. and you can see how high it is.
Yeah. That would wake you up. That's not going to let you sleep.
Yeah.
4:45. Whoa. Okay. So something is causing a cortisol surge in the middle of the night and you're going up sooner than you need to, than you should be. And that's probably the key, the crux of it. So what could that be? Sometimes people have parasites and that causes it. Parasites lay eggs in the middle of the night. I don't know if you've done a parasite test or not, but that's a possibility. Reliving a previous trauma, like having had a break-in, a molestation, an attack or something that happened to you in the middle of the night now, because then people just get habituated and you can't get out of that. Blood sugar, like a blood sugar crash that then causes a blood sugar spike, which then causes cortisol to go up. Do you test your blood sugar before you go to bed?
Not all the time, but you know, I was certainly testing it when we did Sweet Spot and the fasting while feasting.
Yeah. How high was it at bedtime?
I don't remember off the top of my brain. It was in the 90s.
In the 90s at bedtime.
Yeah.
So kind of not, you know, not bad, not good, you know, not too low, not too high. Lisa, do you have any ideas on that one?
Well, I was thinking, you know, in terms of sleep, what is your melatonin? Was melatonin measured or not? I'm part of that meridian balance test.
Dutch test. She did a Dutch test a couple of months ago or a few months. Oh, they measured on there. Okay, let's see.
What is it?
Melatonin.
Is it high?
Oh, it's way high.
That was with supplementing.
Well, I mean, if your cortisol is high in the wrong times, you really you need to get it down. And probably the safest way to do that is with adaptogens, as opposed to taking anything like phosphatidylserine to bring it down if you have low cortisol in general.
Magnolia bark might be good.
Yeah, magnolia bark.
Yeah, magnolia bark. And you take it at bedtime.
And when is your last meal? When do you have your last meal? Did you say?
About 6 o'clock.
Okay. So you have magnolia at bedtime. And then if you wake up, which you typically do, you have it by your bedside and you take it again. You can get a tincture that works really well. It gets absorbed pretty quickly and it's easy to keep by your bedside. You don't need to get up and get a glass of water. And it's not gonna work right away. You know, it'll take a week or two to know whether it's gonna work. There's a cream that Apex used to make, I don't know if they still do, called Adrenacom. And it has a lot of calming adaptogens, and it also has some phosphatidylserine. And you could take that at bedtime as well. You know, you just dab it on your skin, and then if you wake up, you dab it on again. So those are a couple of things to experiment with.
Is that two or separate from the magnolia bark?
It's two separate things. I mean, I would try them sequentially. No, I would try one, see how it works. I would try the other, see if that works, and then I would try them together. To see if they work together.
Okay. And magnesium, I mean, that's an obvious one, but magnesium.
I do take a lot of magnesium because I get a muscle cramps in my legs at night.
So maybe you need to do a magnesium loading test and then think about how much magnesium to take it at night.
Yeah, the magnesium loading test, if you go on the site and you go down to where it says nutrient, it's actually on the, it's on the nutrition page. So there's two pages, the empowered and then the nutrition. So it's on the nutrition lab page towards the bottom. It says balance your nutrients with food. And then there's one on there on minerals. And magnesium load test document is there. And you can follow that. And that helps you figure out how much you need. I just found that Micro Ingredients has powdered magnesium citrate, but also glycinate, which makes it real easy to do the load test because you could just titrate until you get to your bowel tolerance.
Okay.
Okay.
My naturopath has actually ordered some supplements for me to lower the cortisol. And she has said to do the same as what you're doing, what you recommended for the magnolia, which was take it at bedtime and then each time I wake up in the night.
Great. So you haven't started it yet though?
No, they'll arrive on Monday.
Great. Okay. So we're on the right track. We're on the same path anyway. And yes. I think, yeah, three of us saying the same thing, you know, between Lisa and your naturopath and I.
So you're feeling the same as I do though, that because I'm not sleeping, the cortisols are so high and that's why I'm just not feeling well.
Yeah.
Just exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah. You're exhausted because you're not sleeping well enough. And that cortisol is, you're burning out all your cortisol in the middle of the day. And then it's, you don't have enough later in the day to get you through.
Well, you know, it's spiking at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it just drops.
It just plummets. Yeah. Because you've used up, you've like blown your wad, as they say, right? And it's like done, right? What your total 24-hour cortisol might even be normal, which is why we can't just go by that. You have to go by the pattern. Right. And you can't go by, like, if they were to do your test, like the typical, oh, first morning blood test for cortisol, it'd show up, hey, she's perfect. You don't have a problem, right? Because they're not looking at the path. And the, yeah.
The other thing to think about, I just thought about, is vitamin C status, because, you know, if you're going through some adrenal fatigue stuff, you're going to burn through vitamin C. So you might think about doing the vitamin C calibration at some point as well, because the adrenal.
Don't do
really,
them at the same time. Do them.
No. Separately. Yeah. 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 Exactly. I know we're throwing a lot of information at you, but the adrenals need vitamin C. magnesium, and then the B vitamin. So yeah. It's good if you work, I mean, with your naturopath and with us to kind of figure that out and do it in a stepwise fashion. But those are important things to think about.
Okay. Just one quick question here. Do you have any recommendations of where to order the pine pollen extract from?
Yeah, there's a company called Raw Forest Foods. I haven't, they started sending me emails for some reason recently, but I've been known about them for years. Let me find it. Raw Forest Foods. Let's see. Nope. Maybe I moved it into the reading. Okay. Oops. Yeah, write that down, Raw Forest Foods. I'll try to find the email. You know what? I'll just type it in. I think it's just rawforestfoods.com. Okay. RAWFORESTFOODS. .com. Here it is. Yeah, they have an extract, like a tincture, and they also have, yeah, it's just rawforestfoods.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it's a high quality product. It's a small family run business, or at least that's how it started out. Okay. All right, we have, where'd Catherine go? Catherine and, we gotta get going. sorry, we're running out of time here.
We're at time, so I'll ask my question next week.
Are you sure?
I'm sure, but thanks.
It's not urgent? I hate leaving people with questions.
It's not urgent.
Okay. All right. And Darcy, you know what? Post them in the Facebook group too, because I can answer them from the Facebook group.
Mine is about my.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a.
There we go.
Okay, good.
Mine is just a vanity question, so I'll just ask it in the Facebook group.
Yeah, ask it in the Facebook group, and I answer those. As long as you, if you tag me in the Facebook group, I see them and I answer them. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, hopefully, for Elimination Diet. And have a great rest of the day. And some of you will see on the herbal medicine course in a half hour. Bye.